Okay. Okay. So the just a couple quick points on Ochel Nefesh. Again, obviously a massive topic, and there's much more to do and to talk about. But we have to move on as well. So just a couple of quick aros. First of all, it was drawn to my attention the discussion of the Tosas Rid, of the Tshuva Sarid that we discussed, is he himself quotes as a tshuva to the Or Zarua, and the number, just so you should have to look it up, is Chelek Aleph Simen Tafshin Nun Dalet, I think. Aleph Tafshin Nun Dalet. That's really the exchange, and I think Shmuel is trying to bring to my attention that maybe the two answers of the Tosas Rid, of the Rid to the question, really is one maybe for the Or Zarua, right, and the other one for the Rid, and then the Rid works nicely with his other piece in Simen Chaf Gimel, where he was talking about a kind of a hutra approach to Melechas Ochel Nefesh, and that would work well with the second answer. The first one is more for to explain to the Or Zarua according to his own perspective, and that would work very nicely. So that's just a ha'ara that you should be aware of. Asher also brought to my attention an interesting point, and that is with regard to the question of Dabar Shabbat Kol Nefesh, that maybe in general this is also connected to the perspective that the Rambam has in Hilchos Yom Tov, where the Rambam speaks about the obligation to share on Yom Tov, Simchas Yom Tov, with others, Ger Yasov Yomana, and he has the famous formulation that what we want on Yom Tov is Simchas Yom Tov and not Simchas Kreso. So that idea that that the Hana also and the Simcha of Yom Tov is something that should be Davar HaShaveh LaKol might be connected with this broader idea that Simchas Yom Tov is intended to be not only spiritual but something that is shared with and applicable also to other people. And he wants to suggest in that light also that the idea of whole the iklu orchim is speculative, but it's a nice idea in the sugya and psachim, is also connected to that. In other words, it isn't just that lemaisa, there's a possibility that guests will show up, and then it'll turn out that maybe what you're doing is l'shem ochel nefesh. There are different ways to understand that. The issue of hoel in general and its relationship to mitoch is something which is discussed by the Rishonim. Again, Chaim was asking me about this as well in the Tshuva, the Rid, and in general there's a whole literature on this. What is the relationship between hoel and mitoch? What's the relationship between hoel, mitoch, and makshirim, really? Because there's a lot of overlap between those three, and are the differences fundamental or just technical? That you can be mechalic between them, but they're all parallels, they all work kind of in the same way, they're all really about the hutra side or the dechuya side, or no, really they are just very different, they're very different in a qualitative way, just as we've been discussing about mitoch and makshirin, or mitoch and makshirin and heter ochel nefesh. You can discuss this about Hoel as well. Anyways, the more you think that Hoel is not just a shiur in Heter Ochel Nefesh or in Hutra, or the default is prove that this is Asur, rather than establish that it's Mutter. If it's more that, prove or establish that it's Mutter and that it's L'shem something, so then, Hoel becomes more and more of an issue and a problem. That if you say, as long as there's a remote possibility, people show up, and it's not l'shem of Tala, or l'shem Machar in particular, then that's fine. Then you don't need to say, you don't need to do much with Hoel. This is what I'm adding to the discussion. But if you think that it's the opposite, again, that you need to label, you need to define Melechas Ochel Nefesh is Melechas Hayom, or the Heter is a Dechuya, it needs to be justified more, so then Hoel becomes more of a problem. Like, do you really think these guests are going to pop up on your door? How likely is it, A? And B, even if it is likely, but until it happens, is that really a halachic consideration that you should have to integrate? But again, that's why I like his comment, which is that if once you see Simchas Yom Tov itself also is including, you know, other people, so just like Shavu L'chol Nefesh might be connected to that idea, not necessarily, but could be, so too a whole V'iklu Bu'archim is really part of the culture, in other words, of Simchas Yom Tov. I like it more. I think it's a good idea. Yeah. I'm sorry? Oh, you want everybody to come together? And then that's part of the din of Eruv. Oh, okay. Excellent. So So that's exactly that idea. So that's the Neshech Chachma. That's in Parshas.
That's on Mikra Kodesh. It's on Mikra Kodesh.
On Mikra Kodesh and Emor.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. So very good. So I'm glad to remind you. I remember now that we discussed that last year. But you're absolutely right. So that's, let's put that on the list as well. So I think these are very, very important issues and very important ideas. Just to add another couple of points very quickly, but again, you know, Beitza is the proper time to do a proper comprehensive job, obviously, in Ochel Nefesh. We spent like 3 days and, you know, I think it was worth it, but we're not going to do more. So just again, regarding a couple of local issues, the number one, just to the Pnei Yoshua Alatar on Dav Zayin Amud Aleph raises a question that I meant to talk about, and that is that if you look at the our Gemara here of Mitoch, right, it also seems to take a stand on the issue of Chovel, right, because the Gemara basically says that there should be a heter bia the Shabbos, right, or B'Yom Tov, right, B'Yom Tov, based on Mitoch of Netilas Neshava, of Shechita, right? So the question is, if you hold either like Rashi, right, who thinks that there's a possibility that it's Tzoveya, the Rashi in Shemona Shratzim, or like the Rambam, who paskins at Chovel and Cholev, as we know, our Mepharik told in the Dush, it's very hard to read the Gemara in Ksuvas of Zayin and Malach. Very tough. So the Pnei Yeshua asks this question. I was just looking around the other day, and he leaves it to Betzarachi, and he says, this is really a serious problem according to the Rambam. But what I wanted to say was, very good, very fine, but one of the points that we were trying to make about the Rambam for various reasons is that it's a very good possibility, and then Hanan brought to our attention that the Eben Ha'ezel also says this, there's a very good possibility that the Rambam just doesn't paskin our sugya. This might be another reason, you know, to think that. The Rambam thinks that, you know, if you take a certain view of some of these malachos and so on, that's one thing. But if the Rambam thinks that, you know, there's no din of Shava, Davar Shava L'chol Nefesh, and that Mitoch is limited to Hotza'ah and Havara, and it doesn't even apply to Shechita and so on, then this whole sugya should be a lo aliba de Hilchasan. You know, just like the Gemara in Chulin, according to the Rambam, is lo aliba de Hilchasa, that, you know, that other shratzim, you know, are a violation of Chovel if it's Yatza Mehem Adam, right? Just to harken back to our discussion of that. So all of these would actually be Lashitasa. The Rambam says, you know, Kanami, that sugya proves that, but that sugya is not Lahalacha. Now, it would be better if you could also explain that, you know, not only do we not happen to paskin like the sugya, and therefore the evidence from it, you know, goes away, but that somehow it's all linked to how we look at Mitoch. And I think that one could do that too, frankly. I just don't want to get involved in it so much, but I'll just go back a little bit to the Megabain question, and especially the Netziv's suggested treatment of the Megabain question. Namely, maybe how you look at these malachos, you know, how expansive they are and so on, the scope of these malachos may have something to do with their being appropriate candidates for Mitoch, and at the same time how expansive they are in terms of toldos and things as well, and especially on Yom Tov versus Shabbos, if it's a possibility, which is a huge chiddush of the Netziv, that how we magdir a told on Shabbos and on Yom Tov might be different, especially because of the factor of Ochel Nefesh. So I think that that's derech also to try to explain. In Ochanami, that Gemara is against the Rambam. The Rambam A is not so, not that Gemara, our Gemara, is not so committed to this Gemara, perhaps. And maybe it isn't just, you know, okay, so therefore, you know, if he's not bound by it, you know, it's wrong, or it's not halakha for more than one reason, but maybe there's also a kesher between the perspectives in the Gemara that the Rambam himself is rejecting. I should also add that the Pnei Yeshua addresses the question of Eruv Tchumin, and why the Marsha's question, why it is that you wouldn't say Mito, why you wouldn't say Hetero Ochol Nefesh on Tchumin. So he suggests that Tchumin is always by definition, you know, Machshirin She'efshar Mibod Yom. And just to point out that we gave a different answer to that question, and also just to point out that Rabbi brought to my attention that, you know, if you take a Hutra view of Hotza'ah, and you think that Tchumin is part of Hotza'ah, you know, what would you say about this issue? Would you certainly be committed to saying that there's a heter of Ochol Nefesh also for Tchumin? So I think if you do it in terms of the Shein Malacha, that's certainly the case. If you start breaking down the Tsuros within the Shein Malacha, in kind of the Derech of the Shita Mekubetzes, then still possibly not, depending on how you look at the relationship between Hotza'ah and Tchumin, and is it really, you know, just a shiur in, you know, what you're carrying or what kind of significant Hotza'ah it is? Or are these really two, within that rubric, they're really two different Tsuros, Mamish? And that goes back to what we discussed last year in the Al-Yetzi, Al-Yotzi, and the beginning of the year issue, you know, how that interrelates with other issues in Hotza'ah, but not for now. Okay. Finally, I just want to spend a couple of more minutes talking about Shavu L'Chol Nefesh and some perspectives on that. But again, it's a massive topic. That's really mostly a Beitza topic, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, and so on. What I want to bring to your attention is two things, basically. One is the formulation of the Yireim. The Yireim is already highlighted in the Ramach. We read that, right, in the beginning of Hilchos Yom Tov, in terms of the Heter Ochol Nefesh, you know, for Rosh Hashanah, and where it's derived from, and some of the issues, etc. Anyways, the Yireim has a very interesting piece, in general, a long piece, on Heter Ochol Nefesh, and among other things, he formulates that all the dinim, basically, of Heter Ochol Nefesh are one and the same. That's part of what we've been discussing, is the extent to which there aren't levels here. There's Tzorech Ochol Nefesh. What about other Hanos Haguf? Right? And what about Mitoch? And what about Makshiri Ochol Nefesh? And maybe also what about Hoel? Right? Are these different levels, and if so, do they even operate in the same way, or are they very different from each other? So the Yireim is just, you should just be aware, is the Rishon who takes the view that there's only one din in Yom Tov. There aren't, you know, overlapping multiple dinim based on different psukim, or if there are based on different psukim, but they all integrate into one. It's not that there are different dinim and, you know, maybe connected or disconnected, but not even that. Basically, there's something called Heter Ochol Nefesh, says the Yireim, but since the Torah says, Achar Sher Yeochel L'chol Nefesh, and it uses the expression Nefesh, so Nefesh dictates a wider definition of Heter Ochol Nefesh, almost in the same way, but with a different meaning, as the Shita Yishana Raivin, which says, oh, Heter Ochol Nefesh, right? That is Simana B'Alma, right? But he was saying it for Hutra purposes, right? Namely, when we say Heter Ochol Nefesh, what we mean is Meleches Ochol Nefesh, right? And it's not called Melech HaSabor. That's the Shita Yishana and the Raivin. But when they say Simana B'Alma, they mean that Lav Dafka, no special yichus to Heter Ochol Nefesh per se. Any Hanos HaNefesh or Hanos HaGuf. Again, the Shita Mekubetzes themselves later think that there are two dinim and so on, but I'm talking about that line. So the Yireim also holds that way, but probably on the level of Dechuya of Heter, rather than on the level of Hutra. And he says it very clearly, and then he goes on to say that this is true also with regard to Mitoch. Again, you know, to answer again the Orzarua, Chuvas Harid, Shita Yishana Raivid question, like, where's the makar for Mitoch, and how does it fit in, right? So the answer for the Urayim is, you know, it's part of Hetzer Ochel Nefesh, but not on a Hutra level, on a Dechuya level. And he even interprets, and I'll read you the line in just a second, that that's what the word Mitoch means. Mitoch doesn't mean, you know, just as, or which implies, you know, either an extension or a parallel, or, you know, some sort of a connection, you know, pragmatically or conceptually. That's how mitoch means. The word mitoch, according to the Urayim, I think this part is quoted in the Ramach, means mitoch hapasuk. It's the Urayim's way of saying, this isn't an expansion, this is just part of the Hevter. That's a remarkable interpretation. But you can imagine that once you have that, then you're going to wonder, and he's emphasizing nefesh, akashir chelchol nefesh, where achila is no special yichus. He goes on to say, I'll read it inside in a second, you know, Rabbi Vo and Chizkiah discuss whether or not the language of achila doesn't also include hana. Okay, so you have achila, you now have hana'a, maybe not as a second level, but as part of the, you know, expanded, integrated definition. And then the Torah also uses the expression of nefesh, so that includes a dvar mitzvah, any ruchani thing, and then it also, you know, mitoch, you know, therefore includes that too, because that's all part of nefesh. So it's just these are all just ways of trying to figure out how the heter has an expanded definition. But you can imagine if you're going to say that, you're going to run into some problems when you encounter any mitzvah which seems to be nefesh oriented, right, but is going to be asur on yontif. So what are you going to do about that? So, you know, what you're going to have to try to say, you know, b'deleis breira, is something like, okay, you know, like what the Shita Mekubetza said about Akum, you know, for Rashi. It's exeris hakasuv. And in order to be happy about that, but you might have to say it. Okay. So this is the Urayim. Let me just read the line. It's mitzvah shin dalid. V'lav dafka ochol nefesh hitara kasuv. Elafilu kol hanas hanefesh. Also, I am always inspired when they, you know, really, you know, read the Psukim very meduyak and they derive substantive things from it. Kinitzan the Beitza. Beisham ayomrim lo yichaim adam chamin l'raglav elim kein ruim l'shtia beisilamatirin. Betani beisham ayomrim lo yasim medura v'yischamin kenegda beisilamatirin. Balachim beisilam. In general, as we know, you know, beisham and beisilal seem to be very l'shitasam. In this, that's why we portrayed it originally very much that way, right? Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in terms of Mitoch, in terms of Davar Shavu'el Chol Nefesh, etc. Anyways, Tamad Ksiva Shaye Yochel Chol Nefesh, Arminim B'Psachim Perik Kol Shah, fascinating, because it's a totally different context. Bein the Chizkiah, Bein the Rabavo, Komokam Shenema Lo Yeyachel, right, or Lo Yochel, Achila V'Hana B'Mashma. That's not necessarily true for Chizkiah and Rabavo, but for our purposes now, it's interesting that he wants to broaden it. The dafka hana hashava l'chol nefesh, t'ksiv l'chol nefesh. Av hana she'en hashava l'chol nefesh, asura. So again, achila, hana'a, right? Nefesh, and davar hashava l'chol nefesh, it's all the same. It's all one single expanded definition. Okay, and then he brings some rayas, and then he says, umeleches mitzvah, right? Mitoch shehi hanas neshama. It's also very nice, right? Hanas neshama, melechis mitzvah. Muteres. Kiditznan, the beitza. Beshame armene motzi nesakotan nesalulavas asteif torah lushasarabin beisilamatirin. Meaning, mitoch is muter midin hanas neshama. Not a two stage process. Or din and the shame malacha. The heter, the tzorech itself. Pirish katan lamulo. He doesn't like spatzirim, probably, unless he thinks that's, you know, a kiyum in Simchas Yom Tov, but he doesn't say it. L'naneya bo, lulav l'naneya, sefer Torah likros bo, right, because that's be literally hanas hanefesh. U'maskinan tamid beis hillel mishum shehutra hotzo l'tzorech hanas haguf, hutranami shelo l'tzorech hanas haguf, ach sheyeh l'hanas haneshama. Okay? I don't think this is Neo-Hasidus either, by the way. This is like, you know, core Lithuanian, you know, authentic, real stuff. Pirish, Mitoch, but this is, I think, the best part, best line of all. I mean, what does the word mitoch mean? Because normally you take mitoch, you're saying, like, oh, you know, we have this foundation, we're going to the next level. Right? This is going to be the bridge, you know, the jumping off point to the, right? No, that's not the pshat of mitoch. Mitoch really means mitoch, pirish, mitoch oso mikra atzmo. Sha'ata lamad, heter, atalamed, heter, hanas haguf, Atalamed heter hanas hanashama yeochel lechol nefesh ksiv pirush yene lechol nefesh kasher pirashti lemal besamuch v'chol aguf nikra something my photocopy
nefesh.
What is it
nefesh
thank you kidasiv is beautiful just shuvi nafshi right lemuchaychi this is good for shalashudas too by the way this but you know good. You know, brisker Talashudas Torah. Uksiv haisa nefesh, right? Adonit tsurah b'tsurah chayim. Right? What's next? Mine's cut off again. Something, v'amar ula, v'masekat beitza, perik beis. Oh, v'afaga, okay, that's critical. Very good, very good. Okay, so now, oh, it's on the board. So now we get to the point, you can see what's going on here. It's an interesting construction, the whole thing. Right, pretty radical. So you can just imagine that he's going to encounter a difficulty. Because again, if mitoch is a second level, so then you can always say, you know, but it's conditioned only under this circumstance and that circumstance. But if it's the wider hagdara of heter ochel nefesh and the tzorach itself, and it's all the same, so then the restrictions are going to be more problematic. So that's why he says, again, b'afalpi. Rabbi Afagav?
Afagav.
Afagav, the Omar Ula, is that next? The Mesechet Beitza, Perik Beis, Divra Akon, the Dharma Nadavos, Ein Kravim, Biyomtov. Umaskinan Tanoihi, what's the next word? Velo Kaimalon Kibase. So that's already interesting, because most of the Rishonim don't think that's true. Most of the Rishonim think it is true that on Yom Tov we paskin that Nadarim Nadavos, Ein Kravim, Biyomtov.
But Tosafot assumed that you
can or can't. Machlokas. I'm saying, but the Uraim is really motivated to tell you that we don't paskin this way because for him, this is really a serious, serious dilemma. Okay, so you get out of that one and say, oh, you know, we do, we paskin that way. Okay, fine. And what we explain according to that mandamar, that he has a very different view of mitoch, and he's probably not interpreting the word mitoch hapasuk. Anyways, then comes the next one. Usreifas kudshim, right? Umila shelo bezmana, the olas chol, all of which are the asiri biyomtov, right? B'shabbos perik b'memadlikin, right? Umikroy dor shelohu. So what are you going to do about that? Right? Remember, sreifas kodshim. It's a mitzvah, right? So it's hanos nefesh. Mila shelo bezmana. It's certainly a mitzvah. Olas chol, right? Certainly a mitzvah. So hasam, dorshu l'hasam, l'lamed al'atzvam bo, v'ein l'meidem mehem b'makom acher, v'havaluhu, sreifas, what's next? Kadshim, umila shelo b'zmana, v'olas chol b'yomtob, gimuk suvam abayim kiachad v'ein melamdin. Which is his way of saying, leave me alone, it's exeris akasif. Okay, not the leave me alone part. And again, that doesn't mean we wouldn't maybe try to find some explanation, but we can definitely see why this difficult part is still totally consistent with his shita. And then he goes on to say, the kulam amoda b'hadi ravashi diyantavase velosase grotzol hamina mishnah fine v'yeshet tzmoak tas achreisha mash enanu l'meidim mehem mishum dehava lehu shlosha b'ayim kiyacha v'lo mishum pircha. Ma ro lemait milavado ilo shelo bezmana yosem yishar mitzvos. Valo remiza b'hu kra yosem yishar mitzvos. Ulkol perusha abaseinu yesh lishol bazeh. So, what does he say? He says, if you look at the Gemara, b'memadlikin, we looked at the Tozer here last year, we discussed this Gemara, right? So the other ones, find are limudim that are direct. But the mila shelo bezmana is not, nirmaz in the craw. So, again, if you have to say gzeres hakasuv, say gzeres hakasuv, fine. If the psukim imply that, you know, olas nedava or sreifas kodshim, you know, is excluded from heter yom tov and tzigzeres hakasu, fine, ma tovu ma noim. There are probably ways to explain it too. But what he's saying is, you know, the psukim don't speak about milah shelo bezmana. So why would we think that milah shelo bezmana, therefore it's a little more arbitrary or a little more problematic? Well, why is it different than any other mitzvah? Ah. And then he says, and everybody has this problem. Okay. So I think that the answer very, very well be even for the Urayim, or if not for the Urayim, certainly for everybody else, along the lines of what I was trying to say about chametz, right? What I was trying to suggest was that there are two, seems to be a stira in two Gemaras, and some additional problems with some of the Rishonim, including the Rambam. Namely, one Gemara seems to say there's no application of mitoch to bir chametz. The other Gemara seems to say that if you hold mitoch, you do it for bir chametz. And what I was trying to suggest was, if the din of bir chametz, the mitzvah of bir chametz is on Yom Tov, then very understandably there should be a mitoch, if you hold mitoch. Right? But if it's an erev Yom Tov mitzvah that you basically ignored in its time, even if you had good reason to ignore it in its time, let's say you had a perfectly rash, you know, a proper rationalization for it, or justification for it, even stronger, it doesn't make a difference. In the end of the day, it's still not Maisa Hayom, it's not a Maisa Yom Tov, right? It's a Malachas Chol, or Erev Yom Tov, that you're doing on Yom Tov. So, now, this is not as obvious, obviously, because, you know, we're talking about Milah Shelo Bezmana, but especially if we're talking about in Milah, where Bezmana and Shelo Bezmana is a different, is a chalos, right? I mean, you're Milah Shelo Bezmana, you're not Doche Shabbos, right? So what you might say is that the problem, it is a mitzvah, but it's yesterday's mitzvah. Even if you say Acha She'ochel L'chol Nefesh, and that might be the reason for all three, by the way, Olas Chol and Sreifas Kadshim, right, and especially Mila Shelo Bezmana, and that's how the Mesora knew that it was that they were looking for examples which are kiyumim, but kiyumim that, you know, where it's not completely neutral to say, oh, it's, this is a Maisa Yom Tov, it's yesterday, it's not only not today's action, it's really yesterday's action, the opportunity yesterday, in the case of Mila, what would have been preferable yesterday had you been able to do it, makes it yesterday's milah that you're doing today. So that kind of stale mitzvah, I don't mean it literally, is, or chametz, you know, shiach mitzenu mitzvah, but in this case you have every rationale and justification, that's not the point. It's still not, it's still yesterday's mitzvah, and that doesn't qualify. Okay, so that is in terms of the Urayim. And then one, just to contrast the Shava L'chol Nefesh part of it just very quickly. So there's a whole literature on what Shava L'chol Nefesh is. I mean, it starts with, you know, the Ar Gemara, Elamiata Mugmar, and then the Gemara's, you know, second stab at it with the, you know, with the venison, right, with the tzvi. And, you know, even the Rishonim here, as we know, are struggling, you know, to define. Okay. But I mentioned the whole smoking issue and the Pnei Yeshua and the irony. And the Surgeon General. Okay, there's a whole discussion about Shava L'chol Nefesh. Maybe the Rambam doesn't have it, etc. But just an interesting little snapshot argument, just to highlight it, just to look at Tosis and the Ramban and Shabbos on Lamed Tes Amud Beis. So Tosis Shabbos, the Gemara Lamed Tes Amud Beis and Shabbos is one of those Beis Hillel Beis Shammai issues. Okay, Maish also Anche Tiberia, Rechitza and Rechitza's called Gufo, Alechan and Shukum the Shabbos and Asur, Alechan and Shukum the Erev Shabbos. A whole discussion here about, you know, the use of hot water on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Oh, Lematznan Stama Kibbe Shamai, Nabe Shamai Yomer Lo Yichaim Adam. What they were quoting before. Okay. So Tosa says about Beis Hillel Matirin Mashma dafka l'raglav. Aval l'tzorach kol gufo, lo. V'chei mashma b'kula shmaitin. D'machmirin b'chamin shuchlu b'yom tov k'chamin shuchlu b'shabes. V'gozer al azeya b'yom tov k'mo b'shabes. In kei mashma sh'osa lasos havara mishum rechitza, very important issue, she'im lo kein lo yegozer mal azeya. V'teima, the maishna havara the rechitza me havara the zeya. The shari midoraisa k'nebucha chasa. Omer Rebbe Shem Riva, the rechitza ena ela letanug viasura, kemo mugbar, the also perikamidik suvas. So rechitza is tanug, right? It's a, it's something more exotic apparently, or less necessary, less basic, right? And this is a big question people have: is manazeh? You know, do people still feel that way? People are more istinus oriented today, but that's not for now. Rechitzeinu letanav v'asura kemo mugmar also parakamik suvas de'ein shava l'chol nefesh v'chein mash v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v' shava l'kol nefeshu, de'ein atanu gel lebrius. Okay, so this is the view of the Bali Tosis, and the Ramban Alatar in Shabbos disagrees and says the opposite. Be'silamat tirin, the avdu hanas haguf derechitza ke'ochal nefesh, k'desharu medura lischamim kenegda b'masechet Yom Tov, referring to the Gemara in Beitza Chafalapun Beis, an important makar also for the discussion of Dabra Shava L'chol Nefesh. V'husha tehe hana dumi dachila shava l'chol nefesh k'disa b'ksubas. Mashma v'adai d'lebeis hilal rechitza d'kol guf nami muteris b'yom tov v'koshken hu t'anos kol guf dami l'achila ushtia tzvei mahana d'ever echad k'nesom g'day t'chlebeis shama d'perek beis d'beitza v'dumi d'zei nami d'muteris nami b'yom tov k'onim gzeira afilu hucham b'yom tov. And then he quotes Tosis, who disagrees and says, "Rechitzas kol gufa ein tzorich l'chol nefesh," and only Evar Echad is Shava l'chol nefesh. So is this a machlokas in the Tzius about what is and what isn't Shava l'chol nefesh? Presumably not. It is seemingly about whether Tanug or Brius, or more to the point, how do you look at Shava l'chol nefesh? Again, the Urayim was looking at it as there's no new category or new requirement of Shava l'chol nefesh. It's just part of the Hagdara of Ach Asher Yeochel Lichol Nefesh, right? Hu Levado Yesa Lachem, that integrated single, albeit expanded, definition. And for Bali Tosfos, it seems like Shava Lichol Nefesh is kind of an extension, and as such, it's not part of the Hagdara or Dumya Dachila, it's beyond Achila. And then the question is, like, how far, and what's koved? Brius versus Tanug, therefore Evar Echad Adif Mikol Gufo. Whereas the Ramban seems to be saying that the key issue in Shavu L'chol Nefesh is Dumya D'Achila. Achila is Shavu, is something which, you know, affects Kol Aguf. And as such, Shavu L'chol Nefesh is a way of trying to get Hetero L'chol Nefesh to remain in compliance with Achila, not to take it from Achila, you know, to an acknowledged next point. So I think that these are interesting issues, again, that zero in again on how you look at Shava L'chol Nefesh. Okay, good. One final ha'ara before we move on, and that is regarding Hora. So if somebody could just read Gabi, if you don't mind, just read the next line of the Gemara. And the Gemara concludes here. Yeah.
Hora Rabbi Yochanan b'tzaydin aser livol b'tzil b'shavus b'shavus miyika hora l'iser in zatznan hora b'shilal
horuha b'shilal shetein d'zira
b'shilal shetein d'zira od shavashanim achirus v'inami kiyaha d'tanya chutra chidra Shadisak Ruvo Ruvo, the Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov,
Yeah. Amar Huna in Alaka
Rabnakum Bar Yitzhak must be happy. Amar Vau Shal Rabbi Shmuel Ben Yaakov demand sort at Rabbi Yochanan Betzaydin the Anna Shamai Mahu Livel with Gilbert Shabbos, so Amar Le Asher the Hilfsamuk.
Okay. Yeah. So okay. So this is the discussion, and then halacha lemaisa. There's also discussion whether or not mutter or not asa shabbat. I just wanted to spend 1 minute or two speaking about this question of whether or not there's something called a hora'a leheter. So if you look at Rashi, Gabi, what does it say?
Umi kaharal iser, umi kari iser hora, bishum the kol adam rashai lahakir ba'oser in the smichas dvarim, shatilu mihasapek she'in hahalaka brurlo, huba, ba'oser, aval hamatir somet al shamuaso, o al svaras takwato, vehi hora.
Yeah. So what does that mean basically?
Hora sounds like it's more, intelligent, investigated, whatever.
It's some matter of conviction.
Exactly.
Right, and something goes, as you say, researched something, or you put your personal imprimatur, I would say, your mora hara, you like, you can almost, you know, see that you're putting yourself out there, right? You've investigated the matter, this is your personal, you know, conclusion, it, you know, reeks of conviction, in a way, and, you know, that the question is, do you have that only leheter or even leiser? And the point being that leiser, you don't have to have so much conviction to be oser. You have to have a little yer shemayim to be oser. Meaning, if you're a mistapek, whether to be mekel or to be machmer, and you really don't know, you haven't really been able to pin it down, either because you haven't tried or because you have tried, but you don't have any, clear, strong conclusion, then you should be machmir, because we talked yesterday a little bit about asu siago Torah. This isn't a game. You have to be careful. So this is basically an interesting Rashi, and it's an interesting parallel to Rashi in Beitza. Rashi in Beitza, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. I don't know if we have it here anywhere. But we talked about, you know, Koach Teira Adit the other day, came up as well. So that's how Rashi interprets Koach da Teira Ad. Rashi basically explains that if somebody presents you with a heter, right, rather than an iser, you can, generally speaking, have greater confidence that this is a result of some, you know, effort and conviction. Anybody have it open? Give a little bit Aleph and Beitza. Go ahead. Who has it? On Koch Taterov, it should be Gimel Amud Aleph. At least I think it's Gimel Amud Aleph. Got it? It's not Gimel Amud Aleph? Oh, Gimel Amud Bet? Oh, Beis on Beis. Okay. What's it got there, Avi? Go ahead. Yeah. Okay. Good. And basically, you should. That's kind of the general idea, right? We talked about the Ramban's view of, you know, halacha kedivrei, you know, hamekel ba'avel in Torah Adam, where he said, well, on the things that are doraisa, you know, how could that be? And then he came up with that fascinating idea that sometimes, you know, when something's a safek, so the agmas nefesh or the nihugei avelus component is missing. But all things being equal, if we're talking about sfekos doraisa, you know, again, you know, the Rambam aside for the moment, unless, again, if you have like the Rambam, the Sveika Daraisa and the Chumrah is only Drabanan, and that you're only supposed to be Machmir as a Din Vadai, then you might say, oh, Kocha Da Teira Adif, maybe it means that. But if you don't hold that way, and even the Rambam who holds that way, you know, limits it very significantly, so then, and certainly, you know, it doesn't hold that way Drabanan, so like, what does this mean? So most of the Shonim, like Rashi, and here, and like Rashi and Beitza, say what it means is that, you know, a conviction, you know, is more impressive than laziness or lack of conviction, you know. But that doesn't mean, that's not a policy statement. I would add, you know, I've said something different the other couple of weeks ago, but, you know, we paskin like Beis Hillel more than we paskin like Beis Shammai, right? And the Gemara says that the reason for that is, you know, because Beis Hillel were more respectful to other views. I mentioned this the other day, right? And I was trying to explain it, and we'll get to it next year, what I think is a pshat, or the direction of the Tshuva Sarajba. And that is that, you know, it's not, you know, that you get credit for having good midos. You do get credit for having good midos, by the way, a lot of credit. But that's not you wouldn't get credit in Hakra, Psak. You wouldn't paskin like you just because you have good midos, right? Because to paskin like you, we have to have confidence that you're able to be machria la mito shel Torah. That's more important, right? So, what does the Gemara mean that it's connected to good midos? I think what it means is that, you know, people who have good midos are open, you know, initially. They're not stubborn, and they, you know, they often have a lot of Yerushalayim, but especially they're, by being polite and being open to listening to other people's views, so that ultimately their rejection of that view ends up being more impressive. Okay. So I would just like to add a nofech based on the Rashi here and the Rashi in Beitza, and that is, and the fact that Beis Hillel was more Mekil than Beis Shammai is also a bit of a stronger reason to paskin like them. Not because paskining Lekula is better than paskining Lechumra. Absolutely not. Again, the Gemara says in Yevamos and in Eruvin that you don't paskin Lekula and you don't paskin Lechumra. You paskin what you think is right. If you always paskin Lekula, you're a Rasha. If you always paskin Lechumra, you're a Tipesh, or a fool, or a ksil, and you should be neither one of those, though it's better to be a fool than it is to be a rasha. But the point is that, you know, if you're dealing with a serious topic, you have to be machmir, but you should try to engage the topics. And the point is that Beis Hillel, were more open, and if they were more open and they were still makel, I'm just adding an extra, you know, reinforcement here, you know, given koach datera adif. So in the end of the day, their position was more impressive than Beis Shammai, all things being equal. Now you have to work that into the, you know, argument that, you know, L'Asid Lavo, you know, we might go back to the Harifi Beis Shammai more than the Beis Hillel, the gentlemanly Beis Hillel. But I think this is the right, generally speaking, the right idea and the right shot. And that's, I think, what the Mishnah means in Avos, when it says, you know, you shouldn't be mistalek minasafek. As we've discussed, it means doesn't mean that when you're mistapek you shouldn't be machmir. It means that, you know, you should also engage the issues. You should have confidence in Torah Hashem Tamima, and you should put your effort and your will into it, and you shouldn't be lazy, and you shouldn't be abdicating your halachic responsibility to understand things and to try to come up with a mito shel Torah, assuming that you're capable of doing that. If you're overstepping your boundaries, then you could be the shualim ketanim and the, you know, Misha, you know, Ena Roy, Lahora, Umora, which again is much worse than the opposite. Either way, this is, I think, what Rashi has in mind here. The question is, in light of that, so is there, what about the Maskana? Is there a Harali Yisr too? So I think that what could say is, well, you know, that doesn't mean there's no Harali Yisr. Because, number one, sometimes you can have a Harali Yisr which also overcomes factors. Like sometimes, you know, the Gemara on Hayom and Beis and Shabbos, I like to say, is like a perfect, you know, anatomy of a Shaila, or how a Posek's supposed to, you know, address a Shaila. Right? Ma'u live of the Shabbos, the beginning of the Sugya. Right? So it's Imtim Salomar, and Imtim Salomar, and Imtim Salomar, and Imtim Salomar. Now, you can see the charts, you know, they're practically staring you in the face. Right? You know, again, we discussed this morning in the different context. So the point is, you might think, you know, Chiburi Mechbar, you know, Dovashen and Miskaven, it is Mekalkel, how do we paskin a Mekalkel, how do we paskin a Mekalkel? So you might, at one point, think that, you know what, there's more than a Svek Sveka here. You know, there are so many factors that can get you Lekula, you know, in the bigger picture, so, like, why work so hard? You know, in order for this to be Asur, you know, it's either Mekalkel has to be Chayev, or it's got to be Metake, you have to paskin, you know, like Rabbi Huda for this, like Rabbi Shimon for that. You know, so what you might say is, you know what, it's pretty clear that, you know, just we talked about Sfek Sfeika earlier in the year, right? And then Bandam Beis, you know, and then we integrated the Daf Tes, right? So one way to look at Sfek Sfeika, when you have a Sfek Sfeika that you have to treat as a Sfek Sfeika, is that, you know, there's no Leidos HaSafek. And it's, as we discussed then, it's not, you know, it's a composite Rove, and it's really the steps of Rove, more likely. Like, you know, how many things have to come together and converge in order for this to be an issue and a problem? So you might say that, you know, in some cases, lechumra too, you know, the tzdadim, you know, lechumra here, are pretty rachok. Now, if there's no way to resolve these sveikos, then that may be fine. But as we've been discussing, you know, like, you know, safek echa begup, safek echa betaroves, right? Or, you know, svek sveika hamisapeches, meaning you can only do that if there's not a greater urgency for you to be addressing each safek individually, you know, not treating it as a svek sveika. Only treating a svek sveika and saying there's only a safek assumes that you can't address independently each safek. That's what misapeches, and that's what, you know, echa beguf, echa betarovs, according to some Rishonim, is really about. It's saying, no, you don't, you can't say svek sveika. It's a safek, and it's a safek. So, you know, achat achat. We'll do the imtim tzolomars of the Gemara, but we're not just going to say, you know, forget about it. So the point is, there can be a hora'a, from that point of view, there can be a hora'a li'isr too. Meaning when it involves an investment of your mind and a little bit of sleepless night, and it's based on conviction and analysis, and where you have a nofach mishalcha, where, you know, it's a hora because it isn't just mara makom, it's you figured it out, or you think you figured it out, or you think you have an approach. Okay. Anyways, that's what I wanted to share, number one. Number two is an interesting mitzvah eson al atar. I was looking around, you know. The mitzvah eson says, oh, what's going on? Now, why are there 2 days in the Gemara about this Nazir case and hora l'chumra? So he comes up with an interesting idea, and then he also makes an interesting passing reference, which is just worth noting. The interesting idea is, you know, that sometimes a chumra isn't only a chumra. Sometimes a chumra can have a tzad kula to it as well. So he talks about this in terms of, you know, here this case on the Gemara is a case whether, you know, the nazirus that he observed in Chutz La'aretz, then he goes to Eretz Yisrael. So what's the story? So you think the chumra is okay, start all over. So, but he points out that there's a debate already in the Gemara, you know, whether a woman who's a nazira violates bal ta'acher or not. So if she does, then waiting, you know, then in a way, this chumra of observing, you know, the nazirus again involves you in a kula of bal ta'acher. So he wants to suggest that the 2 days on the Gemara, mitzvah eson, that the 2 days on the Gemara here are really 2 days about that question, whether or not women have the isur of bal ta'acher in this context or not. And the nafkamina is whether or not this is a pure chumra, which is not a hora, or it's a chumra shemeviya lidei kula, and that is a hora. So that's an interesting idea. Agav, he also points out that there are, you know, some other, there are areas in halacha to look at regarding the status of hora. For example, shikur al yore, right? Does that have the same, you know, status of hora as talmid al yore, let's say, bifnei rabo, right? Either for purposes of kavod or delo stayin milsa, which is the Gemara in Ksuvah Staf Samech, omid beis, right? Meaning, is the hagdara of hora in shikur al yore and in talmid al yore, and, for example, let's say also, it's a big issue, in zakin mamre, right, where there's a din of hora. Are these the same hagdaras or not? In zakin mamre is also a big issue. Should you be mechalik between lekula and lechumra? Right, this is a big discussion in the sugya in Sanhedrin and the Rishonim how to work out the maskana as well. So it you say, oh, because the chumra is never really a hora, or is it? Okay, so just like I think that there are two types of eni odeas, as I mentioned the other day, and we'll discuss next year, there's an Eniodea based on kind of an abdication of investment in the topic. You know, you didn't work hard enough to come up with a conclusion. And there's an Eniodea where you can really see both Tzadim and you just can't be Makriya. So too, I think that, you know, while generally there's no Hara L'Chumra, most Hara'os are L'Kula, not because they're better, but because that's what the Hagdara of Hara is. There still are some Hara'os L'Chumra, because they're against the grain of the Tzadim, let's say, and or even if not that case, if it's really based on solid conviction, or what about in cases where I say where something is an overwhelming Chumra but there's a Tzad L'Hakel, etc. And how do you apply these dinim in the different areas where Hora is applicable? Finally, just to mention that the Gilyoni Ashas, I don't remember where this is, I think it's in Beitza Gimel Amud Aleph, I just didn't get a chance to check it, does quote some Rishonim here or there who do seem to say that you know, Kochet Dantera Adif means that it's better to be Mekel. But you know, that's because in those cases, he's kind of universalized it, but if you look at the cases, they're all cases where there's a Durachel Darche Noam, you know, counter pressure. And that's a bit of a different. Now, if you say to me in the context of Aguna, you know, is Koach Datera Adif, assuming that, again, it's legitimate and authentic, you know, and done with integrity and with the right level of authority, the answer is yes. And there's a whole, you know, history behind that. Just like halacha kedivreha mekel ba'ava. I mean, there are areas of halacha where there are inner factors that make a kula better than a chumra. But, and just as there are areas in a halacha where a chumra is much preferred to a kula. So, some Rishonim do understand that where things like drachah darchei noam come into play, that koach d'teira padim. But, you know, it's, there are equally areas where this doesn't apply. There's an interesting discussion about you know, Birchas Hanenin. If you have a safek whether to make a Birchas Hanenin, there's a famous you know, Pasach b'deshachra v'siyim b'dechamra, the sugya in Brachos, a very long Gilyon Hashas from Kveger discusses that. Maybe you could argue that when it comes to Birchas Hanenin, you know, the din of safek Brachos l'hakel doesn't apply, because then maybe you just won't be nene. So some achronim say something in parallel to also birchas shekhayanu. Now when it comes to simcha and a sense of hodah and appreciation, yeah. So the, you know, the when you're mistapek, you should be moda. Right. So the point is, just like we were talking about the Ramban in Torah Adam, you know, and again mamzer, or I talked about Bakor and Siri Vlosafek and Vaisu Behema. There are areas of halacha where, you know, we don't treat Safek the same in all areas. There are certain dynamics and certain issues, whether it's, you know, Aguna or these other things, where sometimes Dafka, the proclivity, is going to be Lahakel, and sometimes it's Dafka going to be Lahachmer. The issue is where there is a neutral posture regarding that, then what do you say? You know, both in terms of Sveika Daraisa, Lechumra, Daraisa, or Drabanan, and in terms of Kocha da Teira Adif, that's where you, or Hora L'Iser, that's kind of where you get into the issue. Okay, let's move on. Gabi, go ahead. So now let's begin our discussion of Birchas Chasan. So let's read a little bit first, and then let's start to get into it. Amrab Chalpa. Yeah. What does that mean? Yeah. So this formulation of Tu'una Bracha, I think is also worth just making a comment about, and getting into a bit of a bigger issue, something we discussed already, but just to remind everybody of. What comment does it require, or does it, Gabi? Tu'una Bracha. What does it mean?
Require.
Yeah. What do you think about that? What?
Supposed to form a fiat versus obligatory versus whether they want to.
Not so much that, but just the expression "tu'una bracha" is this worth making a literary comment about? Yeah. It sounds a little bit like that, a little bit. Meaning to una has what do you mean by that?
To make it, otherwise it's not. In order to establish it as
the word to una implies a certain urgency and implies that the chefta in a way requires this, and things like kalab lo bracha asur lebala kinyan needed. It implies a bit of a matir, put it that way, perspective. Okay, now again, we have to temper this a little bit. Whenever we see it, I think it implies that, or at least it's a question to raise. The problem is, it can be a little ubiquitous, and therefore you have to be a little bit careful about it. The Gemara in Brachos on Daf Chaf Aleph, Amud Aleph, you know, talks about Birchas HaTorah, you know, Kishem Hashem Akra Havu Godel Elokeinu, and the Gemara there has like a whole comparison between Birchas HaTorah and Birchas HaMazon, right? And whether you can learn one, you know, from the other. And what about Lefanav? And what about La'achra? Very interesting, Shaka Levitaria. And the Gemara uses the same expression there too. Gemara says, Minayin Birchas HaMazon La'achra Min HaTorah Vechaltav Savato Verachta Minayin Birchas HaTorah Lefaneha Min HaTorah Shenemar Kishem Hashem Ekra Hava Godel Lokeinu. Remember that the Rambam holds that Birchas HaTorah Lefaneha, right, is not Min HaTorah, that this is an Asmachta B'Alma. The Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos, Mitzvah, you know, Shehishmit, this is one of the mitzvahs that the Rambam left out, and he counts it in the Minyan Taryad, Birchas HaTorah. Om Rabbi Yochanan, Lamanu, Birchas HaTorah La'achareha Min Birchas HaMazon, right, Mikal V'Chomer. Birchas HaMazon Lefaneha Min Birchas HaTorah Mikal V'Chomer. Birchas HaTorah La'achareha Min Birchas HaMazon Mikal V'Chomer. Ma Mazon Shein Ta'un Lefanav Ta'un La'acharav Torah Shetu'una Lefaneha Ein Adin Shetu'una La'acharav. Min Birchas HaMazon Lefaneha Min Abracha Min Birchas HaTorah Ma Torah Shein Tu'una Acharav Tu'una Lefaneha. That's why the Gemara uses again this expression of Tu'una. The Yerushalmi in Brachos Perek Tes, Halacha Gimel, you know, which talks about, we've made references to Rishami, you know, about, you know, Shechianu and making the bracha on the Asiya of the Lulav and the Sukkah, and so on, and then it talks about Birchas HaMitzvah and over Lasiyasan, and it speaks about a bracha, you know, the bracha on Kiddushe Bia, that same Yerushalmi that we made reference to earlier in the year. Also uses this expression. Mostly, it talks about shorchei tzarech levarech, things that tzarech levarech, which has to me a very different connotation. And then, emes mevarech, Rabbi Yochanan Amar over lasiyasan, Rabbi Huna Amar b'shas lasiyasan. Then the Gemara says, Asya d'Rav Huna kishmuel dam Rav Yosi be Rav bun b'shem Shmuel kol mitzvos tuunos. Bracha, b'shas asiyasan, chutz mitkia utvila, yesh omen kiddushin bebe'ila. So again, here the Yerushalmi uses different expressions, tzarech bracha or tu'una bracha. Now again, is there really a difference between them? I think they, you know, I mentioned in the past that the Rav used to be medayik in the language of the Rambam. The Rambam says, you know, kishem, just as is a mitzvah, just as you're the chiyuv bracha, birchas hananim, so too there's a mitzvah. I'm sorry, there's a bracha in association with mitzvos, birchas hamitzvah. So you know what's the kishem? Kishem just means oh, there's a bracha here, there's a bracha there. You know, the diak was that you know birchas hamitzvah is a matir. It's not just a kiyum, and not just a description. But it's the way the Rav understood it, and this is very consistent with this whole approach in general, the tefillah and brachos and other things. You know, before you do a mitzvah, there's a certain presumptuousness in engaging, you know, in avodas Hashem, as if you know you have you're presuming on the relationship, and that you can you know engage or interact in a meaningful manner, and therefore you need a matir. You have to kind of invoke the you know the notion that you know there's a tzivui, and you know that there's history, and so on. So he thought it was cachet. So I always thought that this Yerushalmi in Brachos, which speaks about Birchas HaMitzvah, sometimes with the language of pidyon, and other times the language of tuuna, bracha, works it very nicely with that idea. Meaning it needs it. The Heftza requires it. It's a matir of some sort. Or no, it could be the whole thing is just wrong, and tuuna is just another way of saying tzricha. It's a, you know, just a chiyuv, a chovas agabra, and, you know, nothing more is meant. I don't know. I'm just, I was always struck by the lashon. Again, in Brachos, it's interesting, there's a tuuna lefaneha, and there's a tuuna la'achareha. I'm not suggesting that tuuna here necessarily dictates whether we're talking about birchas hamitzvah or birchas shevach v'hodah. I mean, birchas hamazon is certainly not a birchas hamitzvah, it's birchas shevach v'hodah. Birchas haTorah, right, is debatable. Right, the Ramban in Sefer Mitzvot, who takes Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Alokeinu as the actual source and being a din d'oraisa seriously, thinks that it's not really a Birchas HaMitzvah. It's, as Reb Chaim many years later put it, it's a bracha on Chafetz Shel Torah. That's not how the Ramban says it, but it's a Birchas Shevach V'Hodah. So, but according to the Rambam, it's certainly a Birchas HaMitzvah. Right. That may dictate the Nusach, Lasuk B'Divrei Torah, or Al Divrei Torah, and many other things as well, which we're not going to discuss right now. I'm just saying, there are really two interesting issues to think about when we talk about Birchas Chasan. Okay. The more technical question, but a very, very important one, is what kind of bracha is it? Is it a Birchas HaMitzvah? Is it a Birchas Shevach V'Hoda'ah? Is it some other category? Right? How does it fit in Hilchos Brachos? And surely that's important in understanding the role that it plays. It's also important in figuring out when it's going to happen, who's going to make these brachos, you know, and the various other halachic details about Birchas Chasan. A second question, which is a little more amorphous, but I think also important, and that is, to what extent, and that's why I'm emphasizing this language of tuuna, to what extent are we dealing with something which is more urgent and really connected, you know, as a matir in a way, to the or a magdir, if not a matir, you know, not just something. Oh, you should do this. You know, in other words, if you know you're supposed to make a bracha, but something where making the bracha or not making the bracha, you know, matters more in terms of proceeding, and is more urgent, you know, and therefore the role is more, you know, critical, more, you know, of a core function. Okay. So I don't know, in terms of Birchas HaMitzvah, Birchas Shevach V'Hodah, we'll get back to that in a couple of minutes, but we already know a little bit, because we did discuss this already, and that is that there is a debate among the Rishonim regarding the timing. What's that debate? Anybody?
If you have a Kiyum HaMitzvah that extends forward in time, maybe you could still say the Bracha.
Well, that's already a nuance after. Before we get to that, even, Jonah.
It's just before or after.
Do you make the Birchas Chasan prior to the Chuppah or after the Chuppah? Right. So who argues about that? That we saw earlier in the year.
The Rambam.
Correct.
The
Excellent.
Rush.
The Rambam and, no, that the Rambam and the Rosh argue about Birchas Erusin.
Oh.
But the Rambam and the Ran and others argue about Birchas Nisuin. I mean, the Ran in Psachim, and there are some other Chachmei Sfarad as well, and the Ramach and others, right, the majority view certainly is that Birchas Chasanim are considered to be brachos after the Chuppah. Right, the way we do our Chuppahs, you know, it's all a little bit tricky, because people are standing under a canopy, you know. So when does it really begin? You know. But, you know, according to the Rambam, let's say, you know, it's the Yichud. So you say the bracha, you know, during, after, or before. So the Rambam Shita, if we could get it just on the record, in Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, Perek Yud Halacha Gimel, is that you make Birchas Nisuin Kodin. We discussed this earlier in the year. We discussed it when we were talking about two things. Right, number one, the writing of the Ksuva prior to Nisuin, right, which the Rambam also is Mechadesh, and which is disputed by the Ramach, by the Ramban, based on the Gemara on Zion Omen Aleph that we discussed, right? Atfasuim Metalpali. That's one issue. And then the Rambam Shita that Birchas Nisuin are prior to the Chuppah, right? Which, you know, when we talked a little bit about Chuppah Snida and other things, we talked about it just when we talked about Ksuba, we talked about that to contrast them as well. Right? So the Rambam says that, what does the Ramach say? You have it, Rabbi? Anybody have the Ramach? Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel? Tavi, go ahead.
Yudati me'ayin hotzizeh im rotz lefarish kodim kisasson l'chopa hayo lefarish kushpirish etaman b'ksilas ksuba.
Im
rotz lefarish zeh leidatiha lam avichya chopa tzavuya bevra. It's our
thing. So what's he saying? Number one, I don't know why what he's getting at. Number two, how come he formulates it a little bit differently? How does he formulate it with the ksuba? Zion, all of Zion. Yeah, Yud Zion, sorry, keep saying Al.
Calling him should take him to Suba, Lisha, 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 Lisha.
Yeah. So the Achakach Yuta Lishta, which we talked about also, is absent in Chuppah. Okay. Either way, the Rambam says that the Rambam is Mechadish, and it's certainly not obvious at all, and the other Rishonim disagree. The Ram certainly disagrees. That and says that the Birchas Kasanim are after, not prior, to the Chuppah. Okay, the Ravid and the Tmim Deim, which we also saw earlier in the year, because we were talking about in the Erison piece, adds what? I didn't get this to look at because we saw it already. I just want to mention it again. Anybody remember? The Ravid says, well, it's got to be after, because you make it also during. Yeah. No. That's the writing about Birchas Eirusin. Okay, Birchas Eirusin. We've taken care of Birchas Eirusin. Okay, I'm talking about Birchas Nisuin for the moment now. Right, it says that the fact that you make it during Shivas and Amishta proves that when you make it under the at the time of the Chuppah, that it's a Birchas Shevach V'Hodah, and it should follow. So what is the Ravid assuming in that? That's the Ravid's comment in Tzvim Day. We saw it earlier in the year. What's he assuming out of that?
That the Brach under the Chuppah is the same Birchas Hanukkah.
Exactly. Which is a pretty good assumption, but not necessarily an undisputed assumption. Right? That the Birch, that Mide Birchas Shivas Yimei Mishta, right? Nishma Le Birchas Achopa. Okay. Either way, you have this interesting debate. But the point is that either way, the Gemara speaks about the woman requiring Teuna Bracha. Now that could still be Birchas HaMitzvah, you know, Kishem, if you look at Birchas HaMitzvah that way. If you think that the Bracha contributes to the Hagdara, it's a Kiyum, it's a part of the Matir, a part of the defining character of the Chuppah, right, then Teuna is going to be even a better usage than if it's Stam, you know, a Chiyuv to say a Bracha like any other Chiyuv. Right? Okay, let's read a little bit more, and then we'll elaborate on this for a moment, including Rambam Shita. Keep going.
Yeah.
Because Amar thinks now there's no bracha at all.
Right.
Vayeshvu, right? So we see that even though it was Almon the Almana, there was a bracha. Okay?
My answer to bracha, the Amar Huna answer to bracha, called Zayna, Al Yom Lepa to the bracha.
Oh. So then the Gemara says, Al Hadatanya.
Al Hadatanya Shakti Kama Al Tana Al Tana Sprosh Shosh, yes, I'm happy for Dibo Yamim. The money.
Okay, so this is where we want to get back to analyze. Let's just finish up this Shakla Vitaria first. Namely, one of the things we're going to have to investigate is what question, Gabi?
That answer?
Yeah, that answer, whether or not it's one answer or two answers. Right?
Yeah. Whether or not it's
argued
the second
Ivan Seymour is arguing different. Yeah. Is this one view just that the configuration of who marries who, right, changes the Yemei Bracha and the Yemei Simcha? But everybody agrees. There's a single Shita here. Just multiple contingencies. Or is there a Machlokas on the Gemara, right, about the relationship between Yemei Bracha and Yemei Simcha? Right? And then the question, of course, is, do we pass on like the first day of the Gemara and the second day of the Gemara? What are they really arguing about the various mechayvim of Simcha and Bracha? So we're going to get back to that in a couple of minutes. Let's just go through the Shakla Vitaria a little further. Go ahead. Shiva.
Ihaki listening to Rakina Lumsula Shiva, Lamana should say Lubakar Shiva, Vil
Lamana Yomechad. That's more accurate.
Lamana Yomechad. Milsa.
The Gemara answers Milsa Psikta Ktani.
The Lake Absul, the Batra, the Shiva.
So the question now also is just again from a literary point of view: is the Gemara's answer just factual, or is there something conceptual in that last line? Meaning, the Gemara says Milsa de Psika, Leika Almana de Batzrim Yamechad, Leika Basula de Batzrim Yishiv. So one way to look at the Gemara, the most innocuous way to read the Gemara, is that the Gemara is saying, okay, you know, they're explaining why we weren't Mefarate. And they're saying, yeah, Milsa de Psikta. But it's also possible that the Gemara is saying a little more than that. And that is that the Milsa de Psikta is, even though it doesn't tell us every contingency, it's telling us an important rule. What rule might that be, David? What? What? Say again? Yeah, when the Gemara says Milsa Psikta Ktani, the Lake of Basula, the Batra Mishiva, the Lake Almana, the Batra Miyamecha. I'm just saying that's factually true. That explains why they didn't add that extra statement. I'm saying, is that all there is, or is there some additional other point here? Or if there's an additional other point, what might it be? That somehow you can capture sometimes an idea by being, you know, less specific and less inclusive of all the details. You might want to do that, not just, you know, for mnemonic or efficient reasons, but because you want to make a certain point. What point? Yeah, exactly. What depends on who, if indeed that kind of a breakdown is relevant here? Because when we talk about Yemei Simcha, we talk about Yemei Bracha, especially that there can be discrepancy, you know, and different configurations, Almon, Yalmana, and Bachor, and Vesula, and Almon, Vesula, right, and Bachor, and Almana, if we end up thinking that, you know, there are different results in terms of Yemei Simcha and Yemei Bracha, so we have to then figure out, right, are we dealing with multiple Mechaivim? And if so, is that determined by Gavra, by different people? Are certain things determined by him and certain things determined by her? Right? Or is it more subtle than that? So when the Gemara says, Psikale Milsa, Leika Basula the Batsum Yeshiva, Baleika Amana the Batsum Yamechad, is that a statement about her, you know, being the Mechayev? Right? In which case, when there's an Amana which is Gimel, or an Amana which is Zayin, is that because her, in that case, that's what she is Mechayev, or is that because, you know, it has nothing to do with her? Okay? So we'll get back to that and to things like that in just a couple of minutes. Okay, this is the Gemara. Now, then the Gemara goes on to discuss Minayin the Birkas Chasanim Ba'asar. Okay. So, let's start, as we just have a couple of minutes, let's just start with the issues themselves. So firstly, what kind of bracha are we dealing with? I think that there are three basic perspectives to take. Okay. So we know that the Ran in Psakim and the Ramach basically, and the whole group of Rishonim, think that Birchas Chasanim are Birchas Shevach Vahoda. Therefore they belong after rather than prior. Certainly that's what the Ran says in Psakim very explicitly. We saw it earlier in the year. As for the Rambam, what does he hold? We don't know. We know that he requires prior to the chuppah. The question is, what does he hold about Birchas Chasan? So we talked about this earlier in the year, right? The Beis Yosef in Eben Ezer says that the Rambam believes that Birchas Chasanim is Birchas HaMitzvah, and that's why it's over Lasiyasa. Big chiddush of the Beis Yosef. If you held like Rav Avraham ben Rambam that the Ikar mitzvah for the Rambam, or even half the mitzvah for the Rambam, was also Nisuin, so there certainly would be some room to be mistapek about this. Because if there is a mitzvah, then there could be a Birchatz mitzvah, right? If you don't hold like Rav Avraham ben Rambam, which I really am convinced is not the view of the Rambam, meaning the goal is chuppah, but the mitzvah b'likuchen eilu mitzvah saseh is erusin. So it's very hard to accept the Beis Yosef's chiddush. Moreover, as we discussed earlier in the year, the Rambam knows how to say the words, right? Kol mitzvah sevarchan aleim over la'asiyasan. He knows how to say them in Perek Yud Aleph Hilchos Brachos, and he knows how to say them in Perek Gimel. Luchasishus, halacha, what is it? Chav Gimel and Chav Dalid, when he's talking about Birchas Eirusin. In both places, he doesn't skimp, you know, he doesn't save the ink, you know, to leave it to your imagination. He says, it's a Birchas HaMitzvah, kol ha-mitzvahs mevarchaleim over la'asiyasan, and, you know, for good measure, in the case of Eirusin, right, he also tells you the chasan has to make the bracha. He also tells you that if you don't make the bracha on time, masha avar avar, right? Which, in addition, is just not the case here, because what is the Rambam's view about forgetting to make Birchas Nisuin before? What will happen? The Rambam says you can say it after, right? So there might be other explanations of that, because we do have a paradigm in Perek Yud Aleph Brachos where that is possible, namely, Tefillin, Tzitzis, a mitzvah which is Nimsheches. But as we discussed then, that's another one of the reasons that I don't think that Rav Avraham and Rambam is right for the Rambam. Because if it was one mitzvah which included Eirusin and Nisuin, so why would you say Masha Asa Asa in Eirusin? Anyways, the point is that I think that the Beis Yosef is very, very mechuda. I understand where he comes from, both because there are people who think of chuppah as a mitzvah, or maybe even the ikar mitzvah. Certainly the language of the Gemara in Moed Katan holds that way, and the Rishonim will hold that way. And because the Rambam is mechadesh that you have to do this prior to the chuppah, so that has the, you know, pattern, the style, the format of a Birchas HaMitzvah. Having said that, it doesn't really seem that that's what's going on in the Rambam, and just the contrast between his treatment of this and other Birchas HaMitzvah, in particular, Eirusin, which would be, you know, what you would really expect it to be parallel to, everything is missing in the Rambam for this to be the case. Okay? If you ask me. So what else could it be? Ah. So how does the Rambam understand it? We're just doing Chazara for the moment, because we've spoken about this. How does the Rambam understand it? Robbie? Kalabla bracha, sur labala kinida. Right? The problem with that, as we already mentioned earlier in the year, is, Robbie? Yeah, that's what the Ron says. Well, before we reject it, let's build it up a little bit. And, sorry? Including that bracha is a factor in that. Yeah. It makes the assumption that the Rambam holds kalab la bracha asur labala kanida, and that he holds it in a significant way, right? And Itamar has already made the ha'ara very well, that the Rambam does quote this kalab la bracha in the Tshuvas Rambam, not in Yad HaKazaka at all, which would presumably be a glaring, gaping omission. He does quote it in his Tshuvas, but when he quotes it in his Tshuvas, even then, it's not to promote it and project it. It's kind of to downplay it. So the idea that Bala, again, the Radbaz also has this idea in the Rambam that Kalab Lo Bracha Asur LeBala Kanida is at play in the Rambam. It just doesn't seem to be the case at all. Moreover, the ha'ara of the Ramach is a good ha'ara. Again, I happen to be of the opinion, this is one of our Hakdama topics, that the Rambam's view that the Ksuba is written prior to the Chuppah is also not connected to his view of Chuppah Ru'ya Labiyah alone. But at least you can make the argument that the Rambam does say something. He says, and then you can be Misyached the Heter. I happen to think that on the contrary, it's because it needs to be done before that it's then ma'akev, the yichud. Not that, it's ma'akev the yichud, because it needs to be done before. Or, I think I just said it the wrong way. Okay. But, reverse it. Anyways, but the point is that at least there, the Rambam knows how to make a reference in Perek Aleph, Halacha Zayin, to yichud haroi lebiya in some respect. Right? In Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel, man dekar shemeh. Right, he doesn't say it. And the Ramach basically makes that hara when the Ramach says, oh, you think it's because of what he wrote in Halacha Zayin? Says the Ramach, scratching his head, right? I don't mean it in a, disrespectful way. I mean in a, weighing the wisdom of this idea sense. He says, well, the Rambam does formulate it somewhat differently. Right? And you can see the puzzle, coming through. So, what really is happening, in Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel? Moreover, as we said, the Rambam Shita is that you can make the brachos after the Nisuin, right? Even days after the Nisuin. If the brachos are birchas hamitzvah, that's surely very problematic. If they're a matir of any sort, yichud haroi labia, that's even more problematic. If you're invoking kalab la bracha asur labala kanida or anything like it, then once it's done, basically. Unless you say there are two kiyumim in the birchas nisuin. But it doesn't sound that way in the Rambam. It doesn't sound like, well, there are two kiyumim, but at least you can get your second. It sounds like, b'di'eved, you can make these brachos after the fact, which seems to mean, A, that they're not a birchas hamitzvah, B, that they're not a matir. Now again, if there are birchas hamitzvah, I think there is one way to justify this. We talked about this also earlier in the year, and that is to assume that the mitzvah is a mitzvah that begins at Nisuin, but is nimsheches. So the Bach does have that comment. The Bach says that the reason that you can make the bracha afterwards, well, the Bach is really speaking about the timing of it. How much afterwards can you still make the bracha? Says the Bach, as long as they're married. Because as long as they're married, they're involved in the davak b'ishta. So to the extent that the brachos then get linked to the davak b'ishto, which is a long-term process. That's a beautiful bach. Other achronim are the opinion that there's a limit. But what's the limit? Is the limit a year? Benaki elabeso or shasimcha b'mono? Is it shloshim yom? When monim tachshitin lakala? And also, possibly Asher Barash, Shasimcha Bemono, etc. Is it Shivas Yamim? It's probably more likely. You know, Shivas Mishnah, where the Shem Chasam and Kala are in full bloom. Hard to know. So it's hard to know how long it goes and why it goes. But certainly, the only way to say that it continues is that, as a mitzvah, is to say that the mitzvah continues. That would be a huge chiddush. More likely, it is still tziruv to the Shevach Behodah, and that's why it continues. The question that the Ravid implicitly asks, which is, well, if this is either a Birchas HaMitzvah or, let's say, even a Matir, you know, so how do you explain Shivas Me'arishta? Also looms large, perhaps. Except that here, there's good daylight for the Rambam. Why do I say that, Ellie?
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Sorry. I just want to clarify. Rebbe Zev's opinion that if it's a matir, and it's avar and it's boel, the matir won't be necessary anymore.
I think that. I mean, for the next time, you know, does it still work? I don't think it's impossible to say that, but most matirim are not effective. There are two types of matirs out there, I guess. But if you're talking about, you know, like a hardcore matir, they don't usually work, you know, after.
I'm saying before the next meeting.
No, I understand. Right. If the question is, what is it a matir of? But if it's a matir of Bia Rishona in the beginning of the relationship, then the timing is too late. If you want to say, there's a kiyum before any bia, or every bia without the bracha is a problematic bia, you know, so you might as well, you know, it's like, you know, the Birchas HaMazon, you know, you might as well make the bracha, you know, like, kol nenem elam azeb lo bracha reza moa, right? So we do say that better late than never, in that kind of matir. So if it's a defining matir, and it has to do with tchilas ha'ishus, I think it's a problem. If it's that, you know, at some point, as a prerequisite, this will be a kiyum, then perhaps not as much. But as a birchas ha-mitzvah, I think it's really problematic. As a matir, it would depend on those two perspectives, I would say. Yeah?
Everyone is saying that the bracha is a matir, but rather the reason why the Rambam happens to want it to be before the chuppah is to ensure that there is heter. The reason for the bracha could be something entirely different. There happens to be the din of kala for bracha so the lala can be done, therefore we have to move it prior to the chuppah.
I mean, there are two issues.
Now that the bracha is characterized by the matir.
Uh-huh. Who are you saying that for?
The Ran. That's the way I understood.
Oh, I see. I mean, the Ran Pesachim doesn't think that the bracha is a matir. He just thinks that since it also serves the function of a matir, meaning there's an additional problem of kala b'lo bracha. So there are two dinim. There's kala b'lo bracha asur l'bala kanida, and therefore it should be first, even though the reason that we have birchas chasanim may be for some other reason. I just think it's strange that there are two dinim, that whatever, but I hear it. It definitely is possible. Okay. So the as for the Ravid's comment that, you know, how could you think, the Ravid says, don't think birchas chasanim, he says it's explicitly, it's the name. Don't think it's birchas hamitzvah. After all, it applies, you know, the whole week. Right. So the response to that attack, right, is maybe. I mean, Amin Adab. Why do you say that? Exactly. Is that the Rambam of all Rishonim, right, seems to have an opening as far as that is concerned, because the Ravid is assuming that you can characterize the Birchas Chasanim, right, under the Chuppah, based on the Birchas Chasanim during Shivas Me'anishta, that they're one halacha. And by the way, is that like a tremendous leap of assumption or speculation? Absolutely not. I mean, that's what all of us default would likely think. The same brachos, right? And, I don't know whether it's the same Negan, that's as part of one of the Nafkaminas, right? But there's a lot to say about that. The What's that?
Even if we're not in Yom HaSidush.
Yeah, no, I have nothing against B. I just don't think that what I said before needs to be or has to be. But yeah, correct. I mean, I wouldn't presume to tell you know, what the neo-Hasidic approach is to multiple nigunim, but I'm guessing that probably it's okay with it too.
Kolamar ben
nigunim. Yeah, my issue isn't being marbe. My issue is that we should pick nigunim that fit the themes and motifs of the of what it is that we're singing. I'm all for the singing, right? I just want thoughtful singing. Okay. Yeah. So, the fact that the Rambam chose, and this is a chose because the sugya is right here. This is the sugya. There's no other sugya. Right? It's the locus classicus of Birchas Chasanim under the chuppah and during Shivas Me Mishnah is right here. Zayin Amud Beis, right through, what is it? Ches Amud Aleph. Gemara deals with them. Kiachon. Right, the Tur and Shulchan Aruch deal with them Kiachon. Right? The Rambam made a very conscious decision to split them up. Now again, to be fair, right, the Rambam reorganized a lot of things. And he's talking about Hosafos and Haskaros of Birchas HaMazon. Right. And you might ask, you know, you'd have to look in parallel to really be fully, you know, thorough about all this. What about some of the other things, you know, which the Rambam, you know, speaks about in those contexts? Are they obviously wrong to the context of Birchas HaMazon? And are they that way even in the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch and in the Gemara? The answer in most cases is yes. This is a particularly striking one. And it caused the Rambam to have to spill more ink. Meaning, it's an interesting thing in the Rambam that he felt the need, instead of saying, you know, either in Hilchos Ishos, look what I wrote in Hilchos Brachos, or in Hilchos Brachos to say, look what I wrote in Hilchos Ishos, it's just quite interesting that he wrote out all the Brachos in each case. There is even a possibility, according to some Girsos, that there are different Girsos of the Chasimah Sabracha in some cases. Is that what you wanted to mention?
According to the Yalgun Nuskos here, yeah. The text of the brachos in the Hilchos Brachos are not supposed to be there, and just in the original sermon of the Yalgun, just supposed to be in the positions.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. In the Frankel it skips halacha Yud Aleph over there. In the Hilchos Brachos it goes from Yud to Yud Bet and leaves out the Pesach Brachos and Hilchos Brachos.
Really? Okay. So that's an interesting highlight. Again, if that's correct, and we're just making a wrong assumption about that point, then we're wrong about it. But he obviously is. It's. I'm glad of the issue because it addresses the question. The fact that there are different, again, girsaos, in Birchas HaShabara in particular, the Lecha Mishnah and Hilchos Brachos, quotes from the Gaonim different girsa, which doesn't appear seemingly in Hilchos Ishos. Again, if the whole thing is a vechule and an ayin, then, you know, strike the whole discussion. But I just find it very intriguing. Why did the Rambam do this? The Torah and Shulchan Aruch didn't do it. And what's going on? There is also a little bit of an additional element here to consider, and that's based on the continuation of the Gemara. So let's just read that just for a second, and then we'll stop here. Just want to make the Ha'ara, and then we'll go back. Thursday, I want to finish off. I want to go back to the actual Shitos of Simcha and Bracha, and then, you know, we'll tie into the other things. Actually, you know what? Maybe I'll stop here. Let me just give you some additional Mar Makomos first. First, I want to speak about what I'm speaking about now, which is the Rambam Shita. And go through the Shach Matar, look carefully at the Rambam's formulation in Hilchos Brachos and Hilchos Ishos. Right? Then we want to talk about the Ran and the Ritva and the Rimigash, you know, the Rishonim on Almon v'Almana. And we'll do this as quickly as we can, but there's like some really interesting things to talk about. And then I want to talk about the next topic I want to talk about after that is the requirement of a minyan. This is all connected, obviously, or maybe all connected. Why do you need a minyan for Birchas Chasanim? Okay, we already know, just remember, we already know that in Birchas Eirusin there's a debate in the Gaonim already, and La Halacha, whether you need a minyan for Birchas Eirusin. Okay. Again, we're not going to repeat so much about Birkas Eirusin except to contrast it a little bit, because we did it. But Birkas Nisuin, everybody agrees you need a minyan. So what is that based on, and what does it reflect? So that's a continuation of the Gemara here, of course, on Zainamid base. And look also at the Mishnah in Megillah on Chav Gimel Amid Beis. This is in addition to the Makaris I gave you about the whole Shakla Vatari, the Rambam, and the Alman Belman. So the Megillah Chav Gimel Amid Beis, the Mishnah, and the Gemara there. Our Gemara here in Zainamid Beis. The Shid Bukabetzas, page 74, column 1, Reish Dibra Maskel Gufa. Okay. The Rambam in Hilchos Ishos, Perek Yud Halacha Hey, Gimel, Vav, and Yud Gimel. These are what we're talking about. Hilchos Brachos, base Tes and Yud. The Ritva Zainov, base Dibra Maskel Minayin. And also look at the Pisrei Tshuva, Evan Ezer, Simon Samach base Siv Katan Zayin, and Berhetev, Samach base Aleph, Bishem, the Knesset Hagdola. Also, look at the argument. There's a debate between the, seems to be a debate, between the Tshuvas HaRosh and Rabbeinu Yerucha regarding how you count Shivas Me'amishta, whether you count it from the Chuppah. I made references when we talked about Avalip Chalo, but I want to revisit that because it's connected. I mean the Rif's view of Avalip Chalo and the Rosh, remember that? And there's a debate between the Tshuvas HaRosh and Rabbeinu Yerucha, or seemingly, what happens, in other words, if you get the Chuppah in before Shkia, but the first meal, right, is only the next day. So when are the Shevet Simei Mishnah over? Right? Does it depend on the Chuppah? And therefore it's over earlier? Or this happens to Maisim Shebechol Yom. This happens all the time. Right? So there's an interesting... So the Ramah quotes the Tshuvas HaRosh. That's the Ramah in Simin Samech Beis. One second. Did I not bring it? Simin Samech Beis. I think it's Sif Zion, I'm pretty sure. And look at the Chelkas Mechokek there, and the Pisrei Tshuva there, in Eben Ezer. Okay? So this is Thursday. We'll try to move as we can, and then I'll give you more Marmakomos to break down other issues in Birkas Chasan. Chadoshos, individual brachos, etc.
The machine is here, the most useless.